Good evening, I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. A new report out today finds that Michigan ranks among the highest in the country for the total amount of toxic mercury pollution from power plants, but the pollution could be cut by 90%. Why hasn't action been taken yet? We'll talk about it. And big changes coming to school lunches across the country. Just how unhealthy are they and what kind of food are students in for? I'll be joined by a USDA official to talk about that. But first, the anti-bullying bill passed by the state Senate continues to draw national attention, activists saying it's essentially ineffective. The House now working on its own version. To talk about the controversy surrounding the bill, I'm joined by Gary Glenn, president of the American Family Association of Michigan. Welcome to the program, Gary.
Mike, great to be with you.
Now, this religious provision in the Senate's anti-bullying bill has drawn widespread criticism, some saying this loophole is essentially a license to bully, which could be done as long as a religious motive was behind it. Is that not the case?
Well, Mike, it's a ridiculous assertion, and this is one of the better examples I've seen recently of how the media firestorm focuses on telling a particular story when, in fact, that story is not true. Not the first time it's happened. But just to give you a couple of examples, Michigan Messenger, which is a publication in Lansing and certainly, I think, reasonably known to be left of center, contacted a First Amendment expert at the University of Virginia named Douglas Laycock, the Robert Scott Distinguished Professor of Law at the University of Virginia Law School. Mr. Laycock said this about that particular language: it is not reasonably interpreted to mean that one student can bully another as long as the bullier has a sincere religious motivation. It's something we've said from the beginning, because homosexual activists and their Democratic and media allies who leveled such a ridiculous charge obviously did so without basis in fact.
I had Kevin Epling on the program, the father of Matt Epling, for whom the law will be named. He said he felt that the state Senate was bullied, essentially, into putting this provision into the bill. Why was this provision added to the bill?
Well, we had no idea it was going to be put into the bill, and I have no idea what Mr. Epling is talking about. And the reason it was put into the bill, however, based on what we've heard, was because of an incident that occurred at Howell High School last year in which a student simply said in class, "I don't accept homosexual behavior because it goes against my religious teaching." And the teacher, who ironically was wearing an anti-bullying T-shirt, kicked this student out of class simply for having expressed an opinion based on his moral or religious convictions.
It's no secret, though, that young people who are homosexual become the targets of bullying, and that situation can sometimes even lead to suicides. Isn't there something that should be specifically addressed in the anti-bullying legislation?
Well, here's what specifically any anti-bullying legislation should say, and by the way, this is the position of the American Family Association of Michigan and has been for the last decade, that what a bill should say is that every single student, based on their individual worth, not on their membership in a certain group, should be equally protected against all bullying for all reasons, without segregating kids into special protected class categories and then dividing them up and giving them protection against bullying based on what group or what characteristic they have.
I'm talking to Gary Glenn, president of the American Family Association of Michigan. Gary, do you agree, though, that when it comes to bullying, whether a student is homosexual or not, that sexual orientation is usually a key point and a key way of attacking when it comes to bullying incidents?
It doesn't matter. I mean, in fact, the majority of bullying cases, as I understand it, have to do with weight. It doesn't matter whether it's a kid who's overweight or a kid who involves themselves in homosexual behavior or a kid's race, creed, color, sex, religion. They should all be equally protected because of their individual worth as human beings.
Well, advocates are now calling for the House to remove the provision or not include one like this in their own bill. Would you support a final bill, then, that did not have this religious provision in it?
We had already told them we had no objection to the bill as it was written before that language was put in. We had no objection to the bill that was passed by the Senate Judiciary Committee, which didn't have that particular language in it. We've communicated with the House that we have no objection to two versions that they're looking at, both of which will not have that particular language in it. But there's nothing wrong, as I quoted from the ACLU of Michigan and from the University of Virginia First Amendment expert, the characterization of what that language that's been the focus of public attention for the last week by homosexual activists, by Gretchen Whitmer, by individuals in the media, is simply incorrect. But as I understand it, it won't be in the House version, and that kind of puts Democrats in a box, because if that language comes out and they still oppose it, then they're going to look like they're crying wolf too often, and the question is going to be raised, why do they refuse to support a bill that simply protects all students from all bullying for all reasons?
I do want to ask you a more general question when it comes to the homosexuals in America and the way they're viewed. I mean, for many people, to have a bias against homosexuals, they equate that to being prejudiced against someone based on their race or gender.
Right.
How are those two things different?
Well, you know, I don't claim to have any great moral authority on the question of, say, the civil rights movement of the 1960s. I was in elementary school. But I can tell you this. The Marriage Protection Amendment that I was one of the two co-authors of that was on the ballot in Michigan in 2004 got about 60% of the votes statewide, but it got majorities in the city of Detroit, in the city of Flint, and the city of Saginaw. And I had the privilege back in 2004 of hosting and chauffeuring around the state Dr. Alveda King, the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and she and I made joint appearances around Michigan in support of the Marriage Protection Amendment. You know, I played ball with African-American guys, served in the military. Nobody is more offended than African-Americans when you suggest that some type of homosexual behavior is somehow morally, should be legally comparable to the color of skin that somebody happens to have been born with. Mike, I know people who used to be involved in the homosexual lifestyle who no longer are, who are married, who have children, who no longer experience sexual attraction to somebody of the same sex. So that is something that is changeable. The color of your skin is not.
When it comes to marriage in America, we see, a 50% divorce rate, problems like domestic violence, all kinds of very difficult issues that happen within a heterosexual relationship. And some would say that to point at homosexual relationships and even the idea of a marriage for a homosexual couple as a real problem in this country really turns away from some of the real problems we have within heterosexual relationships. Is that not a good point?
Mike, I think it's a silly point. You know, it's often, I consider it the same kind of point as when somebody says, well, the legislature ought to be talking about creating jobs and they shouldn't be spending time talking about other issues. You know, I think the American people, legislators, are capable of chewing gum, walking and chewing gum at the same time. Obviously, there are other problems with people who abuse the marriage relationship. That has nothing to do with any type of justification for radically redefining the institution of marriage. And this issue has been put to a vote now in 30 states. So the people of 30 states have now had an opportunity to vote on what the definition of marriage is, but in a, you know, 30 states in every single case, including here in Michigan, with about 60% of the vote in favor, have said marriage should remain between one man and one woman. That has nothing to do with how many times somebody might go get married in Las Vegas. And if anything, support for the Marriage Protection Amendment here in Michigan is growing.
One last question. When you see a group like the Westboro Baptist Church from Kansas, which is infamous for protesting at the funerals of soldiers, declaring that our country's problems are due to our acceptance of homosexuality, what do you think about this rather extreme stance?
Mike, every time that guy shows his face in Michigan, the American Family Association of Michigan puts out a news release condemning him. I mean, he and the homosexual activist groups actually agree. He will say publicly that any individual who involves themselves in homosexual behavior is beyond the reach of God's love and salvation. Can't change. Well, that's what the homosexual activist groups say, that people who are involved in that lifestyle can't change. So this Fred Phelps and Equality Michigan, they're preaching from the same choir book. We think they're wrong. you know, if people engage in homosexual behavior, that's no different than a lot of other self-destructive things that people do. You know, things that are wrong, things that are harmful from a health standpoint and from a spiritual standpoint. But all people have individual worth as human beings, and they ought to all be equally protected. We don't need to segregate people into special categories based on what kind of sex they have or the color of their skin or what they believe and protect them on that basis. They're all human beings. We're all human beings. We ought to all be equally protected.
Gary Glenn, president of the American Family Association of Michigan, thank you very much for joining me.
Mike, thank you very much for the opportunity.
And we'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.